The following program was paid for by Wealth Management Group, LLC. Michael Bonaccorso and Douglas Chapman are registered representatives offering securities through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor. LPL Financial is under separate ownership from any other named entity. 1199 Raritan Road, Clark, New Jersey, 07066. For a comprehensive review of your personal tax or legal situation, always consult with a tax or legal advisor. Neither LPL Financial nor any of its representatives may give legal or tax advice. The views depicted in this material are for informational purposes only and are not necessarily those of LPL Financial. They should not be considered specific advice or recommendations for any individual. The views and opinions expressed on your financial future are not necessarily those of the staff and management of this station. Management has not investigated the claims made in the commercials that may air during this program. As always, it is advisable to consult a professional before making a major financial decision.
Welcome to the show.
In 3, 2,
Wow. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Your Financial Future. My name is Doug Chapman, and my partner's Mike Bonaccorso. What's Mike Bonaccorso up to these days?
Not a lot, Doug. Everything's going well. Staying out of trouble, doing my thing, working hard here at the office, talking to a lot of people. But besides that, that's it.
Yeah, no, it definitely is. It's exciting. You know, doesn't it feel like there's right now, for some reason or another around the office, that there's a level of excitement and enthusiasm from the clients and from the new people coming through the door? It's a lot of positive, you know, a lot of positive energy going out there. Listen, I'm excited about it.
Yeah, sure. You know, and you know, like we've said numerous times on the show, it's for the most part, it's been a very positive year. You know what I'm saying overall? And you know, it's a good time of the year too. You know, we're getting close to the holidays. People's spirits are looking forward to doing things, and you know, people, some households, people you haven't seen are coming in, and you know, just why not, right? I mean,
yeah, you know it feels a little kind of weird though, because typically this week is the week of the year when Thanksgiving is, right? It's just late. You know, it's just later this year. And we were talking about it, you know, as far as decorating the homes for the holidays, you know, and all that kind of stuff is going to be right up upon us. Now, last year, if I'm not mistaken, was one of the longest periods of time between Thanksgiving and Christmas. So, you know, that's, you know, it's just how it goes. So, but here we are, Mike, we're kind of rounding out November here, and it's been an interesting month. And, you know, there's a lot of data that's coming out right now. And one of the pieces of data that I saw that just came out was that home sales were very good in October. And, you know, that was right before mortgage rates started to tick back up again. So it's telling me that there's a pent up demand for homes out there right now. And I think people are just kind of playing the waiting game on the mortgage circumstance.
Yeah. That's definite, and it's also, you know, you got to remember too, we're going to be heading into the kind of quiet season for homes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the holidays. You know, who's really packing up and moving or buying, et cetera, so on. So I guess in what you're saying is correct. What will be the case in springtime of next year is the sweet spot. But since you brought that up, along the way, I heard something yesterday that's saying about Fed with more rate cuts. They were thinking the Fed's not going to be cutting rates. I heard that the Fed said that they're very glued to the jobs numbers. It's going to determine, and if they see the job market weakening, et cetera, so on, they are cutting. You know, everybody's got it linked to all these other factors, and they said that their prime thing is they're worried about people working. And the person I heard speaking saying, well, with that being the case, there could be up to 4 rate cuts coming, you know, into next year, starting in December, rolling into next year. So
that person's anticipating a weak job market?
Weaker, yeah. I mean, jobs or whatever. But with that being said, what you're saying, if that's the case, that plays right into housing.
Yeah, I don't think that I disagree with that analysis about the weaker job market coming up. I really do. You know, the unemployment number has been low for an extended period of time now. And it feels to me like when somebody gets laid off, if they want a job, they can get one right away. So, I hope it's a mixed bag, right? Because I know that interest rate cuts typically lead to good market performance, right? But if they're cutting rates because of you know, employment getting hammered a little bit, then that's not good news for people in general.
Right. Yeah. No. But, you know, but if you look back at history, though, really the interest rates were always linked to basically jobs. Now it became linked to inflation because it's the first time we had inflation in God knows how long, 15 plus years or whatever it's been. So it's interesting. Yeah. You know, we'll see. I mean, who knows, right? But they're saying that there's a rate cut on the table for December with the Fed possibly.
Yeah. You know, and we'll see what happens. But, you know, as we know, we've seen these rate cuts and they haven't had a, you know, a huge impact on mortgage rates because mortgage rates are tied to the 10-year treasury. Yeah. So even though the overnight lending rate, which is what the Federal Reserve controls, you know, gets cut, the bond market out there is telling us not so fast there, pal.
Yeah, well, we'll see. You know, I mean, who knows? I mean, there's a lot, like you said, there's a lot going on right now in the economy. And I guess the biggest news, too, for the economy is going to be is how do we get through this holiday season, right? Was it robust? Was it not robust? What's retail sales looking like? You know, one of the retailers this week came out with just terrible numbers and terrible
target.
Terrible guidance, right?
Yep.
So we'll see. You know what I'm saying? We'll see what comes out of it.
Well, you know something, Mike, is that it's no surprise to anybody is that online shopping has become bigger and bigger and bigger. And, you know, the reality of this situation is that it's all a race now because I was in stores, you know, over the week. And I know that you're probably seeing the ads as well. They don't wait till Black Friday to start the sales now. Now it's Black. They call them Black Friday sales, right? But they start them in October.
Yeah, yeah. No, I was in Best Buy 2 weeks ago, a week ago, and had the same discussion with them about, well, you know, things is going to be cheaper. Black, and they're like, oh no, that's, you know, that's it's already it's there. You know what I'm saying? Type of thing. So. It became too much. So, you know, everybody had different, how do you combat Black Friday? Well, you know, well, what it does is if you know something's going to be cheaper on Friday, you're not going to buy it a month in advance.
Right.
So it dries out the store. So that whole concept, you know, I think it started out Black Friday is get people into the stores with some great deals. Then it became everything. And it just got out of control. To me, it got out of control over time.
Well, yeah, and also the online shopping kind of, you know, killed that as well, you know, no doubt about it. It's just, listen, I'm not going to lie. If you tell me right now I got to go to the store and get it, or I can sit in front of my computer and click a couple of buttons and get it for the same price and they're going to bring it to my house.
Yeah.
That's what I'm doing.
Yeah. I still like going to school, store.
Well.
I'm old school. I like it. I was.
Even in a crowd?
I was in the mall the other night and. Macy's. Somebody had given me a gift card, and you know, I went in to use it, and you just start looking around, and looking at the shirts, and looking at this, and
you're right. There's something to be said for that.
There, it's not like you're searching. You know, it's like it kind of like it gives you the idea when you, oh, look at that. Like I could use that, or I gotta come back and get that, or you know, type of mentality sets. And when you're online, it's to me, it's a search. You know, I'm looking for X. Put, you know, go look for it. I still like walking around the store a little
bit. Yeah, you know, as you were talking there and I'm thinking about it, related to clothing especially.
Yeah.
Yeah, I go to the store too. You can't. Yeah. I can't buy that stuff.
No, and I'm not a shopper.
Oh, me neither. If I need some dress shirts, I'm going in the store. I'm walking to the dress shirt section. I'm getting them, and I'm paying them, and I'm leaving.
Right. Well, yeah. Well, that's what happened the other night. I went in specifically for two things, and I accomplished that. But as I was there, I started looking, and kind of.
Was it crowded?
Yeah, not bad.
Inventory good?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Good. You know, let's see what happens here as we're going into the holiday season. I'll tell you what, over the weekend we went out for dinner and we just went to the local Chili's and we had to wait. We got there at like 7 o'clock on I think it was Saturday night. We got there at like 7 o'clock. We had about a 25-30 minute wait to get a table. But the thing that I like about it is that the tables were all full. You know, in the past, like sometimes you'll see like there's open tables, but it'll be like we don't have enough servers. So all the tables were full. So that was, you know, to me, a good sign that, you know, tells me two things. First of all, the demand is there. And the second of all is that they're getting people to come and work and, you know, do those types of jobs right now.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, also, yeah, same thing. I think it was Saturday. Yeah, it was Saturday night, but earlier, I forget where we went. Places were, parking lots were packed.
Yeah.
Packed.
Yeah, so it's good. You know, packed, it's good to see out there. Yeah. And, you know, the market here this week, Mike, kind of bumped around a little bit. We've been bumping around, right? We had a run-up after the election, and then as anticipated, we thought we'd see some volatility, you know, coming up, because I think that there's a big rotation of assets going on out there right now, and that'll cause volatility. You know, the money managers are going to start to put funds where they believe are going to benefit from the new administration coming in, remove funds from the areas where they thought the previous administration would benefit. And so that creates volatility in my mind. But I still think, my opinion only, we're going to see a strong December.
In the market.
In the market.
Yeah. I hope so.
Yeah. No, I firmly believe that for a host of reasons. And one of the main reasons is that there's a lot of money on the sidelines right now. A lot of these fund companies, if you go and you look at their allocations, they have a decent amount of money still in cash that they're going to allocate into the markets, because, you know, it also is going to help, could potentially help their returns for the year if they can, you know, go in and start buying some stuff up and push the markets up a little bit.
Yeah, that makes sense. And then the other spot too, that, you know, and again, this is just reading tea leaves, talking, right, chatting here, getting you to think a little bit, is the spot that you would think you may see some selling would be into the new year, because of how strong the markets have been. And if you're sitting on tax gains, that generally people wait for the year to end, and then they'll go and sell off a little bit and book the gains, and they don't have to pay the tax until the following April of 26, right?
That's right.
That not, here we are in 24. We're talking about, hey, if you sell in January of 25, the money's due in April of 26. It's, the calendar's nuts.
Yeah, you know, that's a very good point that you have right there, Mike. And one of the interesting things also is that when you get a market that for the last 2 years has participated well and has such a strong year this year, you don't typically get a lot of tax loss selling going into the end of the year, because there's not a lot of people sitting on tax losses.
Right.
You know, when you start to get, if you have a middle of the road kind of year, and, you know, maybe, you know, an 8%, you know, overall return, a 10% overall return, you may see some, a little bit more tax selling at the end of the year. But there's, like, we look at a lot of, you know, clients' accounts, and, you know, there's just not opportunity there.
Correct. Exactly. And that's because of the 2 year cycle that we've kind of gone through. And, you know, so now when you talk about maybe people rebalancing or taking some chips off the table or whatever, or even sometimes, Doug, you know, people say they need money, I'm thinking about doing something. And, you know, we're in that period now saying, well, if you can wait to after January 1st, you know, exercising that sale and booking that gain, you'd be better off waiting to January than doing it now in almost December.
Yeah, you know, another thing that, you know, we want to bring to people's attention, though, as well, Mike, is that if you do need money for something, for a major expense or something of that nature right now, you know, we're getting to the end of the year. So, you know, use your head when you're doing that and think strategically. If you need money, if you know you're going to need money next year for something, maybe you take a portion out this year and then a portion out of your account next year to do it, so you can divide the tax bill up a little bit. Yeah. Sometimes that's a good move for people too, especially if you're taking money out of retirement accounts. You know, you got to think about that.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Just think ahead. And that's just, you know, really what's very, very important. So, you know, let's just say, for instance, you know you're going to need $30,000 next year, you know, out of a retirement account for something. You're doing something around a house or whatever, you're going on a trip, whatever you're doing, right? Well, maybe it makes sense for you to take half of it now at the end of this year and then the other half at the beginning of next year. And so you split that tax bill in half, and $30,000 doesn't go on any 1 year tax return, 15 and 15.
Yeah, and here's another thing too, Doug, and I know it's on course, but we're getting a little off course. But again, we always say we try to help people, even if it's not per se what we're doing. But, and you know this, there's so many things now when you do something major, whether it's a project or buying an appliance or something, these stores and businesses offer free financing sometimes for
any
6 months, 12 months. You know, and I just want to call to people's attention. I know people, so many people listen to the show or, you know, I don't want that though. I don't want, you know, on my credit card, I owe, you know, $2,800 or $4,000. And even though they're not charging me interest, but if you, if you're getting maybe required minimum distributions and that's going to be coming up, you know, in the new year or something, you buy something, you put it on zero interest, and then when that transaction is there for you, just take that money and pay the card off instead of saying, I need to come up with money now, and then I'm going to end up getting, let's just say, an RMD for an example. You know,
right.
Required minimum distribution paid out to you in the new year. Or, you know, so there's ways to, you got to think about your money management when it comes to where are you pulling that money from, right?
Mm-hmm.
What type of investment it is? Is it, are you doing well? Or you have a good interest? Maybe you have a good interest rate at the bank.
Right.
You know, is there taxation linked to that transaction? These are some of the things we're just trying to get you to think about and options when you are taking on, you know, a situation.
Yeah. You know, I can give a personal example is last year we bought some furniture for the house and they had three-year 0% financing.
Yeah.
Like, okay, fine.
Yeah.
You know, leave the money in the bank, let it earn bank interest, you know, which is probably getting 3.5%, 4% right now, and 0% interest. And at the end of the day, I'll have more money than I would have paid for the furniture.
Yeah.
And then if you really want to get technical on it, right, and you put the inflation into it and the cost of the goods, like, I'm so far ahead of the game. Because the purchasing power of the dollar got eroded. And I know I'm getting into the weeds now here with people, but I'm so far ahead of the game.
Well, the other point of it too is the example is too, it's not like just saying, well, I'll leave the money there until my last day of the free interest runs out and then I'll take it out of the bank. A lot of times you could just pay it out of your ongoing monthly income and you know, you're just paying and treating it like, send $1,000 and $500, whatever. And that's the way of doing it. So there's ways to do things and get things done strategically that, you know, doesn't empty your savings account or do things. And these are some of the things you should be thinking about out there. It's we're in that period. You know what I'm saying, Doug? It's that time frame of how retailers want to do business. They want you to do it today and not say we don't have the money.
Yep.
And interest rates at banks are favorable now. And so, you know, and markets have done well. So you got to think about these things.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're going to hop to a break, folks. We will be right back. And we've got some really important things and interesting stuff to talk to you about related to retirement income strategies and things of that nature. We will be right back, folks.
Have you been listening to Doug and Mike for some time now and have been contemplating scheduling an appointment with them? Does what they talk about make sense to you and you believe some of it applies to you? Do you think it's time to either start paying attention to your money or get a second opinion on what you're already doing? Well, great news for you. Doug and Mike offer complimentary consultations with no cost or obligation to the listeners of Your Financial Future. That's right. A no-cost or obligation consultation with the hosts of Your Financial Future to discuss what is important to you in a private and confidential meeting. It couldn't be any easier. Just pick up the phone right now and call 855-262-3722. Leave your name and phone number, and either Doug or Mike will personally call you to set up a time to get together. The number again is 855-262-3722. That's 855-262-3722. Doug and Mike will explain things in an easy-to-understand fashion and work with you to help you accomplish your goals. Whether you want to plan for income at retirement, learn investing strategies, save for college, plan for a special needs child, or anything else related to your money, they are ready to help. These guys have experience and wisdom to help. Take advantage of this generous offer to get together and have a complimentary consultation with no obligation. You have to take the first step and simply make the call. So call now to 855-262-3722. That's 855-262-3722. Don't put it off any longer. Call 855-262-3722.
All right, folks, welcome back to the show, and glad that you're investing some of your time here with Michael and myself today. And we come out here this week and every week to talk to you about financial stuff. And when we say we'll talk to you about financial stuff, we'll talk to you about anything that you want to hear about. And that just leads me, Mike, to telling everybody about our great website. And you can go take a look at it. It's wealthmanagegroup.com. That's wealthmanagegroup.com. And you can go there, and there's a tab on there and a button on there to reach out to us. And if there's something you'd like for us to talk about on the radio, by all means, let us know. We want to talk about it and see if we can give you information and direction and maybe even some clarity.
Absolutely.
So, Mike, this week I was reading through through a magazine, through Forbes magazine, and they had an article in there, a story in there, that was kind of eye-opening to me, and it said that half the retirees will run out of money in retirement, and that's according to a report done by Morningstar out there, and it says that almost half the American households will run short of money in retirement if they stop working at age 65. New research predicts, and that was Market Watch recording a study done by Morningstar. So, wow.
Yeah.
You know, that's Forbes magazine putting that out there. It's not some, you know, some nobody putting up a tweet on, you know, on X or anything of that nature. There's some meat there. So then I went and I said, okay, this is interesting. Let me go get the Morningstar survey that was done. And it was done. And I went out there and I read it. And, you know, like every headline, it's not necessarily as dire as the headline says, but when you boil it down at the end of the day, there's a pretty good case to be made for at least a third of the population is going to run into some sort of income problem in retirement time.
Can't comment yes, no, or indifferent on that, right? That's their report. I don't have any knowledge backing that, but I want to ask you, did they say why? And who? Because I have my opinion, but
yes,
let's hear it from them.
They did say why and who. They said there was a couple of reasons. One is the biggest segment of the population that is in risk of this happening to is the segment of the population that does not have access to a 401k plan.
Okay?
Makes sense.
Okay.
Right? The second segment of the population is people who go into retirement time without an income strategy.
Okay.
All right?
So you just answered why and who.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah.
No, there was a third segment. You said why and who.
Why and who. So who.
Right.
You're saying people without 401ks.
Right.
Why? Because they didn't have an income strategy.
Well, those are, yeah, so two different things, right? So even people who do have an income, who do have a 401k go into retirement without an income strategy.
Right.
And that's a problem. And
yeah,
that's where, you know, at the end of the day, where it's coming from is because most, what the article went on to say, and the research report went on to say, is that, you know, people have Social Security, some people have, you know, pension, and that's really what they only, you know, only guaranteed type of income stream that they have.
Yeah, my why and who, now that I'll say, is the why would be folks that failed to plan or have an income strategy in place, mm-hmm, at retirement. I almost find it impossible, right, to, if you don't have an income strategy, how am I going to get through my retirement years in place and not just being haphazard out there and saying, I'm going to make it up as I go along. Okay, Social Security check came in and I have X in the bank or X in an investment. I just start pulling down on it. And that's, to me, you got to have some sort of a retirement income strategy plan in place of how am I going to keep the mailbox full every month for the rest of my life. And we think it's a 25, 30 year proposition, right? The who for me is probably the person that did the 65 is the finish line, even though I am not financially prepared to be retired. I'm retiring. Mm-hmm. I don't care. I have, you know, $80,000 in the bank and I'll make it up. I'll figure it out as I go along. I think that could be a huge mistake. So that was when you said people aren't going to make it, though. That's the two categories I had in my brain.
Yeah. So, you know, Mike, and now this is just, I'm off of that now onto my own, you know, personal feelings and personal observations, if you will, of what's happening is that there's a big problem out there, in my opinion, in that people are disqualifying themselves from getting financial guidance from people like you and I because they think that they don't have enough money. That's, you know, plain and simple. Now, listen, I want to explain something to you. We're not miracle workers. If you don't have any money, there's nothing we can do for you, right? So that's not, you know, you can't come into us and all of a sudden we're going to create this, you know, magnificent flow of income out of thin air for you. But the other issue is that recently, over the last 2 years or so, I feel as though the person, Mike, who's got the $400,000, $500,000, $600,000, even $300,000 saved up in their retirement accounts are saying to themselves, I don't have enough money to work with somebody like that. And nothing could be further from the truth as far as Wealth Management Group is concerned.
Yeah, no. Doug, there's a fine line, right? There's a fine line between having that type of money or even being earlier onset and wanting to do the right thing and want to put a plan in place and build my retirement assets to get to a proper retirement income stream versus just saying, I'm a complete disaster. I'm this age now and like pull a miracle out, right? That's not happening. So there's a fine line there. But you're right, though, Doug. There's that pool of money out there that people just always disqualify themselves of not having enough or a lot.
Right. And the reality of the situation is that those are assets that what you have is what you have, right? So we have to work within that. Now, again, we can't create miracles, but if you're in that area, you can put together an income strategy for yourself for retirement. You know, I had a nice lady in recently who several times said to me, I know I probably don't have as much money as most of your clients do. And, it's true. We have some very wealthy clients on in our books. But what I told her is what we used to emphasize all the time. We still emphasize it today is that if you're a nice person, we're happy to work with you and help you. And so I think that segment of the population right now, Mike, is the $300 to $1 million in their 401k or the retirement account is disqualifying themselves incorrectly from being able to sit down and meet with us and have a strategy put into place.
Correct. Yeah, no, that's you're 100% right with the numbers. And like you said also, Doug, is I'll tell you what, we are rich and we have a lot of good clients. Okay.
Oh yeah.
Good people, nice people that you really enjoy and I mean, I get it. There's a disparity, maybe I'm one of those. And I only have 600,000 and there's another guy that has 2 million. We have both. You know what I'm saying? But at the end of the day, it's about the person, and being a good client and wanting to do things and wanting to achieve their goals.
Yeah, Mike, there's folks out there. There's a very big difference between having a retirement nest egg and having a retirement income strategy. There's a huge difference. And one of the things that we see is that there's plenty of you out there who have somewhat of a retirement nest egg, but you're not setting up an income strategy for you. And this is where it can go off the rails and sideways in our our feeling and our experience. And we got to tell you something, is that it's easier today than it was 4 years ago, 5 years ago, 7 years ago for us to plan out retirement income strategies for people because of the interest rate environment that we're in right now. So it's creating a situation for us as advisors of accomplishing things for people that previously weren't able to be done. And here's a fear of mine, Mike, is that we have a window of opportunity here because, as you suggested at the beginning of the show, and as we've been speaking about, is that there's a lot of prognostication out there that interest rates are going to be coming down. So we've got a window of opportunity here where it's easier for people to plan for the retirement than it may be in the future. Now, that I don't know for sure. We don't know if interest rates are going to go down.
Right.
But this is what I do know, is if they go up, it doesn't make you any worse. Mm-hmm. But if they do go down, it could put you in a more stressful or circumstance where you may have to take more risk with your money than you need to or want to.
Yeah. No, you're right, Doug. Higher interest rates do makes the planning easier for the person. There's no doubt about it. So we'll see, though. But who knows what interest rates will do, right? I mean, it's a debate every day, higher, lower, staying the same. I mean, who knows, right? There's a lot built into it. And we'll see as time goes on.
Yeah. Mike, it's just the reality of the situation is that if you sit down, our feeling is that if you sit down and you let us create an income strategy for you, we feel as though it gives you more confidence and you're a little bit more at ease going into retirement, knowing that you're not just completely dependent upon a single income stream that, like Social Security or something of that nature, but that you have a true a true, you know, planet place. And one of the benefits and the features to that is you're getting professional guidance. Like, we've been at this for a really, really long time. You know, somebody asked me during the week, hey, how long have you been in the business? And I said, since 1991. And, you know, what the response was, I wasn't even alive in 1991.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You know?
You know, hey, Doug, you know, the big thing here, too, is when you talk about income stream and all that, it always goes back to what we always say, the reason why you need to do this for your retirement, and that is that the biggest thing that matters in your retirement is your cash flow.
Right.
It's money in versus money out. And you know, the more you have coming in versus less going out, less stressful it's going to be, the easier your retirement's going to be. Yeah, investments are important. They certainly are. And, you know, how much are they worth? But at the end of the day, if you have proper cash flow in your retirement, you will now function in your everyday living comfortably. Of course, you want your investments to go up. Of course, you want your assets to go up. But at the end of the day, that's a piece of paper coming to your house once a month, once a quarter, whatever it may be. You got to do the right thing with them. They're certainly important. But at the end of the day, if your cash flow is not correct, you're stuck right at the door of retirement.
You're going to have a lot of stress and anxiety.
And then what that's going to do is that's going to affect the investments that you have and et cetera, so on. So you got to get your cash flow built out and done correctly right at the jump. So cash flow is what wins at the end of the day for us in retirement.
Yeah, you know, Mike, it all comes down to those three L's of retirement that we talk about all the time. And it's number one is lifestyle. You got to have the income to support your lifestyle. The second L is luxury. Is there extra money for us to do the luxury things that we want to do? Travel, buy a car, whatever it may be. And then the third thing is your legacy. So, you know, what are you going to leave behind when you're gone? And we find that most people want to leave something behind to the people that they care about and love. So if we can take care of the three L's, if we can set you up with an income stream to live your lifestyle, set up a side fund to provide you with the money for your luxuries, and wrap that all up with a plan for your legacy for when you're not here anymore, I think, my opinion, is that's a pretty comfortable spot to be in life if you know that that's where we're at.
I'd say you accomplished a lot.
I'd say you accomplished a lot, too. And again, I want to reiterate is that where interest rates are now, it's easier for us as advisors, which means in turn it is easier for you as well. Let me give somewhat of an example here, Mike. Let's say somebody out there had $500,000, okay, and interest rates were 2%. Mm-hmm. How much annual income are they going to get off of that?
$10,000,
right? Well, let's say that $10,000 is ample, you know, for them interest wise to live off of almost $900 a month, whatever it comes out to. Let's say that's fine. So now, if that same situation exists, how much money do they need in if interest rates are 5%?
Half. Half.
About half, right? Right? Yeah. So you need about $200,000. Yeah. So $200,000 at 5% interest can get you that same $10,000 worth of interest that previously, if you needed $10,000 and interest rates were 2%, you needed $500,000.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying to you, folks? Sure. This is why we're trying to shake you right now and say, hey, look, this is something that you should probably look at now because it's going to be easier to accomplish than if you wait and interest rates go down.
You know, Doug, and proof of that, too, is how things have changed through the years of retirement planning. And when you go back to, you know, virtually, you know, when we started the show in the 90s, I remember sitting down with folks and saying, okay, you know, let's go through your retirement, or it came in for retirement income or retirement planning or whatever the case may be. And I remember folks saying to me, I'd say to them, what do you need a month to live? What are we looking at? What's the number? What's your lifestyle? What's your total that you need to live your lifestyle? And they would say like, well, here's what I do. I have like $100,000 in the bank and I'm getting 6% on it. It's locked up in a CD when rates were that high. And I take that $6,000 and that pays our property taxes.
Yeah.
Property taxes were also $6,000. People are saying, what property taxes you talking about? Again, we're going back to the 90s, you know, for $6,000. But like that high interest rate on their safe money kind of took care of like a significant expense in their cash flow, saying, well, property taxes are spoken for. So here's what we need, you know, and I don't have a mortgage, so that's all taken care of. So here's what we need to live a month. And we'd kind of go at it, you know, and come up with a plan of, okay, well, we need to do this, or Social Security's at, or if we take X off the investments a month. So that was an example of, and things have certainly changed since then, because interest rates basically virtually went to zero at one point between then and now. But that's when that type of strategy, what you were talking about, it was virtually easier.
Yeah, and one of the things that we're finding right now is that when we do the three L's of retirement, your lifestyle, your luxury, and your legacy, right? The toughest one in the past was luxury, right? Because it took more money to provide for the lifestyle. In my example that I gave before, right? If you needed, you know, $10,000 a year, well, and it was getting 2% interest, you needed $500,000 to produce that previously. Well, if you're getting 5% today, hypothetically speaking, you only need $200,000 to do that. So, you know, what that does is that now enables people to have a do-over or a reset. So the luxury part, if we address the lifestyle part today, the luxury part is becoming easier for us to set aside money to have, okay, this is what it's earmarked for.
Yeah, and you know, it's another example, Doug, and I'm going to kind of, because you've spoken about this numerous times on the show, that's like our people that are thinking about retirement or want to retire, what they're calling in the near future. Well, guess what? If your 401k assets are at an all-time high,
which
right?
they may very well
right?
be.
So now it's easier to create that retirement income stream off of that money. You need, you know, less years, if you will, because you can say, okay, you know, I have $500,000 or I have, you know, 400,000, whatever the case may be. I need X a month off of that. It's the same thing works that way too, right? You have a higher, bigger pool of money to create income stream. So you can't procrastinate and sit back and say, well, I'm not ready to retire yet. I'm doing it's, you got to think about where am I at now, you know, to get to my numbers that I need in retirement.
You're right, Mike. So, you know, people may be saying now, so how do you get started, right? And we make it simple. We invite you to take action today and schedule an appointment with us for a complimentary consultation. Now, during this session, what we'll do is we'll assess your current retirement strategy, identify any gaps or vulnerabilities, and customize a strategy to help you ensure steady income for the long run. And, you know, it's your opportunity to take charge of the future. So imagine, Mike, just waking up every morning during your retirement with confidence that you've got a strategy in place. Now, that sounds pretty empowering to me.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Yeah, so folks, to schedule your complimentary consultation, give us a call. The number's 855-262-3722. That number's 855-262-3722. Please don't leave your retirement to chance. You know, let's take that first step and let's get together and sit down and come up with some strategies and see if we can, you know, put a good plan in place for you.
Sounds great.
All right, we're going to hop to a break. We will be right back, folks.
If you're like many people, you know that you should really be working with a financial professional to help take care of your money. But if you are like many people, you simply don't know who to turn to or what to even discuss when it comes to your money. This is why you should call Wealth Management Group. You see, the two guys you're listening to on this radio show right now aren't just radio show hosts. They actually work with people like us to help with our money. These guys have been helping people for over 30 years with various financial topics, depending on what is important to each client. So this is what we need to ask ourselves. Are we doing what we need to do with our money? Do we know if what we have is right for us? Are we doing the best things for our family? Wouldn't it be a good idea to sit down with Wealth Management Group and talk with one of the guys? Pick up the phone and give a call to 855-262-3722 to schedule a time to meet. Wealth Management Group has offices in Clark, Toms River, and Florham Park. They make house calls too. Give a call right now. You'll be glad you did. 855-262-3722. That's 855-262-3722.
All righty, welcome back to the show. Glad that you're investing some of your time here with us. You know, we come out here this week and every week to try to educate and motivate you and get you going to take charge of your financial life. And, you know, Mike, it's really such an important thing, especially in today's day and age. And, you know, something you alluded to, they didn't allude to, that you said in the last segment, which is 100% correct, is that a lot of people are sitting with retirement accounts and brokerage accounts or whatever that are at the highest values that they've ever been at.
Yeah.
I mean, think about that, folks. Yeah. A lot of you out there right now have more money than you ever dreamt that you would have in your life, yet you do nothing proactive about protecting or paying attention to that or making sure it has a good strategy on it. Don't do that. Let us help you.
Yeah, and you know what? It's time for what have you been up to lately?
Yep.
Right? And,
go ahead.
And I'm going to kick it off because met with one of our existing clients, right? Super, super nice people. And, you know, they do their journey in about once a year to sit down and kind of update. And we sat and we talked, and the wife worries a little bit more than per se the husband does. And, you know, just something happens to either one of them, where we're going to be. And we've had this conversation, but it's almost like a refresher course when they come in. And, you know, we sat there, Doug, and 2 points is one is I started adding up their assets they have with me and at the bank and what the home's worth and all that. And I said, you know, I said, you guys are around $1.9 million, you know, almost $2 million. And they felt good. You know what I'm saying? And we went through, he's still doing some work and working, but if it, he thinks it's going to peter off over time and how we're going to replace income. We talked about income replacement, where it would come from, what investments we have yet that we're not taking income from. They're taking an RMD from some required minimum distribution from some accounts. And, you know, we worked through all that. And it's a good scenario. It's a good cash flow scenario. It's they have more than what they really thought. They've done very, very well, you know, with the market. And also the numbers are really starting to stack up. And then the other reason why, I mean, I was going to talk about this before we talked about today's show, so that kind of fit into that segment. The other thing is that they were the couple that put money away for their granddaughter and for 529 and have a pot of money there, a ton of money. And I congratulated them and I said, that is just unbelievable.
Is she college age?
She's in college.
Huh?
And the grandson's going to be kicking off soon. And I don't mind telling you, they have, I guess I could say it, they have over $110,000 sitting in the account.
Mm-hmm.
And I even said to him, I said, you know, about using the money and, you know, the whole deal and doing it. And I congratulated him. I said, this is unbelievable what you did. And I said, to the matter of fact, I said, we talk about people like you on the show, people that love the grandchildren, love their daughter, stuffed money away. I go, that chunk of money, I said, do you really, you know, like, let's think about the number that you've provided for education because a grandparent put some bucks away for their granddaughter.
Yeah.
It's a great story, you know, and just, but the point is, Doug, just, you know, regular you and I people, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Nice people, lovely people, just worked hard, did the right thing. And here's where their retirement's at. And here's what we're talking about. And here's what they did for the grandparent. To me, that's radio show 101, man. We pound that out every week on here, right? Do these things, get the income set up right, the assets, you know, save for the grandchildren. This is radio show 101.
It is, and you know, Mike, it's funny that you bring up 529 because I was on a Zoom, educational Zoom, this week, and somebody was telling a story. Now, this did not happen in our office, but what happened was that somebody had 2 529 plans set up. One for each one of their children. And they took money out of the wrong 529 to send money for college. They got a huge tax issue going on right now.
Wow.
Related to it because they took the money out of the wrong account. Now they have a tax advocate and a, you know, somebody who's working with them to try to, you know, come to grips with the IRS on this and show them, you know, what's happening. But this is where we like to say you got to pay attention to the details, right? Because that there, right alone, is just causing unnecessary stress and anxiety for the people, you know, right there. And it's a significant amount of money. They took it out for a full year's tuition out of the wrong child's account, the one that's still in high school, not the college student. And it's just creating an issue for them. That's why, you know, you've got to, you know, pay attention, and you've got to work with competent people who will also pay attention. You know, if you call in and you say, hey, to me, you know, take it out of Jack's account, or take it out of the account 123. And I'm like, that's Jack's account. He's not in college yet. Like, you know.
No, good point. But, you know, so, Doug, I want to share that story. As a matter of fact, what also came up in that conversation too is we were talking about income stream and all that. And the wife had said, you know, if something happened, like about losing a Social Security check, and I said, listen, I said, there's plenty here. We have plenty of things going on. The plan's been in place. If something happens to somebody, I'll sit down with the person and we'll figure this out. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? We'll get that. That's my job. You know what I'm saying? We'll get this done. We'll find out, you know, and that's part of the transition of retirement and retirement income, right? You get a right. husband, wife, somebody's going to pass away eventually. Financials are going to change somewhat, and that's part of a transition process. But that has to be planned for also. Mm-hmm. That has to be, you know, on the table also. I always say to people when they come in and they want to retire and somebody's, you know, I'm going to retire, I say, okay, what is it now? But what is it if we lose either spouse? And let's work on scenarios
right.
to see where do we land.
Yeah, yeah. You know, Mike, I agree with you 100%, and that all just comes back to us just pounding on, you know, the listeners here about having the strategies in place and sit down and talk about, you know, some what ifs. I had some nice people in this week down at the office in Toms River, and we were having a conversation about themselves, and then what got brought up was a special needs grandchild that they had. You know, folks, special needs children out there needs to be special planning, you know, for them. And Mike and I have a good amount of experience doing planning work for special needs children. And one of the things that the grandparents said, and, you know, and I brought up to them, you know, we were talking about is, you know, depending on the special needs of the child, if you have a child that has, you know, significant special needs, those people tend to neglect doing the planning work for them only simply because life's really hard. You know, for them, they don't have, like we were talking about this couple's family where the husband now works the overnight shift, then comes home from work to take care of their daughter. And then the wife leaves to go to work. And then the husband gets his sleep done when the wife comes back home from work. And it's like they're passing ships in the night, you know, and it's really, really hard to, you know, to pay attention to it. So, you know, if you know somebody who has a special needs child, or if it's yourself, or if it's a grandchild, you know, try to carve out some time and encourage those people to carve out some time to sit down and do the planning work, because it's really important, you know, to do the proper planning for special needs children, because we want to make sure that they don't get disqualified from government assistance, which is, you know, certainly a possibility if the planning work isn't done properly.
Yeah. 100%, Doug. That's certainly something that planning is at the forefront of, absolute. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
That's something that, to me, you can't even play around with.
Mm-hmm.
Go get planned, okay? You know, but do your planning, and you know, it's that important. Hey, Doug, another story for you this week, and just in the terms of, you know, existing clients turned on more retirement income this week for mm-hmm. a client, okay? And just, you know, it's going to be getting his first check from his account in, you know, December 1st, and you know, called me up to verify, hey, did you get the paperwork? I sent it back. I said, yep, you know, all processed, all ready to go. I said, you know, let's, that first check, that first deposit, not a check, you know, as many clients do nowadays, will be coming to you, and, you know, all happy, all good. That sounds great. You know, thanks for all your help. No, you know, it's, you know, Doug, it feels like today the theme of the show is about the planning. I just, it's always nice to plan. It's always for you and I, where we sit, when we see something kick into gear and, you know, planning that is being executed or being working, it's just great. I mean, that's what we're here for. You know what I'm saying? It's,
you know, to your point, Mike, is that, and folks out there, like, we think that when we come on the show each week, if we point out potential pitfalls or potholes or things to you, that's what we want to do. Like, we want you to understand that there's potential pitfalls out there. And we think that avoiding pitfalls is a lot more important than absolutely maximizing return on assets.
Doug, you and I have come on this show forever now, right? Since the 90s, and always said we feel it's what you don't lose in the market will determine how much money you have in the end.
Mm-hmm.
You get what I'm saying? Is people, you know, when it's crazy times, people get caught up into, especially back in the late 90s. Oh, I only made 22% this year.
Boy.
You know, stuff like that. To us, it's, do you have everything in place? Do you have the safety nets under you, mm-hmm. if you will? You know, are you doing the right things? Are you rebalancing? Are you taking prudent steps with your investments each and every year? And that's going to determine is what you don't lose during the bad times is going to determine what you have during the good times. We've always lived by that adage.
Yeah, you know, and one of the conversations that we like to have with people is when we're talking about return and people are like, is there something that we can do to get a higher rate of return? Yeah. And, you know, I say to them, well, let's talk about what is the potential benefit of that higher rate of return going to do for you, okay? And they'll talk about it, and they'll be like, well, the assets are going to grow. We'll have more money, da-da-da-da. I said, all right, so you understand that if we try to do that, it comes with more risk, right? It comes with more potential downside. So is that potential upside, that little extra that you think you're going to get there, worth what could happen if you're wrong and it goes down? And, you know, so if you set up your portfolio to gain an extra 10%, just making up a hypothetical number, well, that comes with the opportunity probably to lose an extra 10, 12, 15%. So how are you going to feel if that happens? Like, is the extra risk for extra upside going to improve your life versus the potential downside? Is that going to harm your life? And you have to lay that out and say, oh, well, yeah, you know, that could be. I had a discussion with one of our colleagues the other day about, you know, setting up portfolios for clients and things like that. And I said, you know, when people fill out these risk questionnaires, they'll fill out on a piece of paper. They'll say, okay, you know, I can handle a 20% downdraw on my account. Yeah, until it happens. Until your million goes from a million to 800,000. That's a 20% downdraw. And you're like, oh, you know, like that's $200,000. Are you positioned to accept that? Most people, the reality is no.
No, you know, Doug, and listen, hey, listen, that's a little bit of psychology of life of everybody. You know, in practice, it's acceptable, you know, but when the game starts, how you're going to react, right?
Right.
Little adversity comes your way, as they say in coaching. You know, how does the team respond when they fall down 7-0 and not up 7-0? So, you know, that's an important thing of how do you respond with adversity? How are you able, especially when it comes to your money, right? We're not talking about a football game. We're talking about your money. How, you know, can you, when there is actual adversity, how are you going to react to it will determine so much of your financial future.
Oh, no doubt about it. You know, and it goes back to a couple of weeks ago, we talked about the difference between a thermostat and a thermometer, right?
Yeah, there you go.
Thermostat controls the temperature. Like, you want to be a thermostat in your life. Yeah. You don't want to be a thermometer, that's for sure. And, you know, it's like, did you watch the Mike Tyson fight?
Somewhat.
It was terrible. But Mike Tyson has a saying, everybody's got a plan until they get punched in the face,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, sure.
And it's true. And, you know, same with financially. Are you set up for what happens if all of a sudden here comes a left hook? You know, we got to make sure that you're set up and you're doing that. And one of the nice things is that, you know, years and years ago, business and self-help guru Brian Tracy told me, Doug, you and Mike have got a platform, and you've got an obligation on a weekly basis to get out there and tell people not only, you know, are there challenges that you could potentially face, there's opportunities that you could get, but it's our opportunity, it's our challenge, it's our responsibility to let people know they have somebody to turn to. And you and I are the people that they have to turn to and say, hey, can you help me out with this overall circumstance? You know, and I know we're running out of time. I'm getting a little long-winded, but I'm going to tell a story real quick. Had a brief conversation with a business owner this week, and I said, this was in a casual meeting, and he's like, yeah, a couple of years I'm going to be getting out. I'm going to slow it down now, and then I'm going to sell the business in a couple of years. And I said, you're going to slow it down and then sell the business? He goes, yeah. I said, does that make sense? And he goes, well, yeah, of course it makes sense. What are you talking about? I said, well, if you slow down the business, what's that going to do to the value of your business? He's like, I never thought of it that way. I said, so if you're going to slow it down, gradually over the next, 3 years, for example, and then sell the business. You're going to sell the business for what it's worth at that point in time. You just slowed it down. You made it worth less money. He goes, I never thought about that.
Yeah, no, true.
Yep. It really, really is, it's true and it's something to think about. So, folks, you've got the opportunity to always have a complimentary consultation with Mike or myself. We've got offices in Toms River, Clark, Florham Park, and Paramus. We'll make a house call. We'll do a virtual call, whatever's easiest for you. But, we want to invite you to pick the phone up and give a call and have a complimentary consultation. And let's sit down and just have a casual conversation and see if we can help you, make sure that you're on track or doing the best you can.
Absolutely.
So the number, folks, is 855-262-3722. That number, again, is 855-262-3722. Pick up the phone. Give us a call. We can't call you. You need to call us. Don't be shy. We're here to help. Anything else you want to add here, Michael?
I think it was a good week.
Hey, that's going to wrap it up for this week, folks. We'll be back again next week. Until then, do us a favor. Be fiscally smart. Bye-bye, everybody.
At Wealth Management Group, we will guide you through a one-hour informative experience where you will walk out with a better understanding of your current financial situation, a strategy or plan that you may not have had before, and a feeling of confidence that you have taken a step toward your goals and freedom from wondering, all by investing just an hour of your time. Many people who have gone through our process have realized a sense of ease and clarity like they may not have had before. At Wealth Management Group, we have a process that provides individual financial programs customized for each client because you are not all the same and should have your own strategy, not a strategy that is the same as 1,000 other people. So we invite you to invest an hour of your time to go through our informational experience with no cost or obligation to the listeners of this show and come out after with something you didn't have before. The first step is simple. Just give us a call now at 855-262-3722 to get a date on our schedule. That number again is 855-262-3722 to take the initial step toward a sound financial future. Once again, that's 855-262-3722. We look forward to your call. The preceding program was paid for by Wealth Management Group, LLC. The views and opinions expressed on your financial future are not necessarily those of the staff and management of this station. Management has not investigated the claims made in financial services commercials that may air during this program. As always, it is advisable to consult a professional before making a major financial decision. Michael Bonaccorso and Douglas Chapman are registered representatives offering securities through LPL Financial, member FINRA SIPC. Advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor. LPL Financial is under separate ownership from any other named entity. 1199 Raritan Road, Clark, New Jersey, 07066. For a comprehensive review of your personal tax or legal situation, always consult with a tax or legal advisor. Neither LPL Financial nor any of its representatives may give legal or tax advice. Join us again next week at the same time for your financial future.